Thank you for having me and us. The podcast was fun. The Bad Take Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're back.
I'm so tired. I can't even say this thing. What's up with everybody? Luxury Nods Bad Take Podcast. I'm with Rachel.
Hey guys, episode four.
Episode four. Rachel has me up 6 in the morning. I just don't even know what to say. Like, you know what? I'm gonna tell y'all about my day. I always ask Rachel, "How's your day?"
Yeah,
you
know what? How was your week, Naz? How was your week? How's it
Thank
been
you, Rachel.
Back in the US?
I think it's been miserable. Like, no, seriously. Like, people have just been very unhappy. It's just political everywhere. Like, I don't know. Like, friends aren't the same. It just seems like a third world country. Like, it's like I can't tell the difference between India and the U.S. But besides the fact that the U.S. is a little bit more cleaner. But I don't know.
Yo.
Like, but no, nah, I didn't get no sleep, so I chose violence today. So what else? I went to the dentist yesterday. And like the lady, like, I don't know, like, you ever like getting your teeth done or whatever, and like they have like the little like water thing they put in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
They didn't give me that. So my lips was dry as a fish. Like,
oh,
so it's like, yeah.
Why
so like,
fish?
You know, like when a fish is like out of water.
And oh, out like of water. Out. Okay.
So
I was
going
to say, would fish lips be wet?
No, nah, out of water, like it'd be super dry.
I see.
It's like my lips is like super red right now.
Oh,
swelled
no.
up. Like even my face, everything. So.
No, I hate going to the dentist. I'm not going to lie. But it's necessary. But the hygienist, you know, the one that like cleans your teeth and then they like scrape your teeth and it literally feels like you're being ricked in the mouth. I hate
yeah.
that shit. I hate
yeah,
it so
too.
Much. I don't know if it's like a sensory thing or because it's in my mouth, but I just want it to end as quickly as possible.
It's terrible. It's crazy because like the whole entire time I was traveling, right? I never said anything to anybody. I just kept it to myself. But I had like toothaches in the back of my mouth for like the whole entire time. Mind you, I had went and got work done, you know, so I wouldn't have that issue. But it looked like somebody didn't know what they was doing. So, yeah.
Oh, no. Toothaches, like one of the worst pains as well. I don't care what anyone says. It's like pain on your head just feels 10 times worse than what it is.
Yeah, because sometimes it'll go right down to the back of your spine or up into your neck. And it's just...
It goes up into the head. Like, you can feel it just in the nose. Yeah.
Like, I remember one night in Thailand, like, I just fucking took a towel and almost cried myself to sleep. Like, I said, yo, what the fuck? Like... Like,
do you know what? The whole time I've been traveling in general, right? So for 3 years of traveling, I've only been sick once, or I've only had to like go to a doctor or something once. Well, I didn't even go to the doctor. I was sick when I was in Thailand, when I was up in Pai. I don't know, I woke up one day and I was so bad, but I'm the type of person where like, I will refuse to go to the doctor until I'm literally on my deathbed. And I was buying this like medicine from 7-Eleven. It was like a Thai like cough syrup. And I was just, it tasted disgusting, but I've seen on TikTok, people said, this is what you need to buy if you get a cough. And so I was just drinking that. And for about 8 days, I just got worse and worse. And I felt so bad because I was staying in a hostel and I was coughing so much. And I was like, I know everyone's pissed at me coughing in this room and keeping them awake. And
I can't
then
stand that shit either.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been pissed. So I was like, on the 8th day, I was like, if I don't wake up tomorrow and feel a little bit better, I need to go to the doctor. I woke up next morning and like now my cough, like now I was congested. So to me, I was like, that means I'm getting better because that means like the infection's moving up, right? It's trying to come out.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'm getting better. So I had this, I was ill for probably about 3 weeks, maybe a bit longer. And then when I got to the Philippines, I'd gone and had like some health checks done while I was there. And it turned out that when I was in Thailand, I actually had TB. I actually had tuberculosis. And I thought it was just a cough. So I was actually really, really sick. But I refused. Also, I didn't have travel insurance. So get travel insurance, guys.
Yeah, but I mean, the Philippines is the best place to go to anyway, like, because you can go to the hospital for what, like $10, $18? It's not that bad.
But this was after I'd been sick.
Damn.
Yeah. I was sick in Thailand.
Damn. I mean, Thailand ain't that bad either.
You sure about that?
It's not that bad. Well, it depends. It depends. But Philippines is better for medical.
Philippines is better for medical, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, let's get to the point because we could talk about this stuff all day.
Yes.
Georgia.
Georgia, the country, so, not the state.
I've never heard of Georgia, the country, until I say like earlier this year. And I was like, it's a country called Georgia. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So tell me about Georgia. You've been there. What's the experience?
Yeah. So I've never heard of Georgia either. A friend of a friend had posted up on Instagram that they were looking for volunteers to come and teach English. And in exchange, they would pay for the flight, they'd pay for the meals, they'd give you an apartment. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Why not go there for a while? So I didn't even know what this place was. When I first heard Georgia, I, like you, thought it was the state. And I'm thinking, why would I be going to Georgia to teach English? Then I learned that it's actually a country. So it sits on the Europe-Asia border. It borders, like, to the north, you've got Russia. To the south, you've got Turkey. And then to the east, you have Armenia. And then to the west, you just have the sea. I can't remember what the sea's called, but that's kind of how it's located. And so I got there. And, you know, when I first went there, I went for 1 week in the summer to kind of test the waters, see if I liked it before moving there. I went for 1 week. I went to a place called Batumi, which is by the coast. When I go somewhere, there's usually always something that I can compare it to, like another country that I've been to. And I'm like, oh, it reminds me of this. And when I first came out the airport and I was driving to where I was going to be staying, I could just see loads of like wild dogs everywhere. And then cows just walking in the road. The roads were not very well built. It was kind of like dirt roads. And initially I was like, this reminds me of Ghana. That's the first place I could compare it to was Ghana. And then I spent a week by the sea, which was cool. And then I came back in September and I stayed for 4 months. And so, but this time when I came back, I went to the capital, which is Tbilisi. I remember thinking like, it almost looks modern mixed with like medieval, like in terms of the architecture.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, if you had to compare it to a different country, would you say it has its own architecture or would you like, you know,
I mean,
or a movie or like, something you've seen? Like,
Of all the countries I've been to, there's nothing I can compare it to. And I think that's why Georgia is one of my favorite countries, because it just feels so unique. The language, the culture, the food. Like, I wouldn't say they are like Russia. I wouldn't say they're like Turkey. Like, completely different, you know, and they're quite a small country as well compared to their neighbors. But yeah, so I was there for 4 months. I made some friends there, some Georgian girls. That's actually when I started meeting Americans, because most of my time there I actually spent with Americans. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't see a single British person there until my last week. And that's a whole other story, by the way. This British guy that I met, he'd been arrested because they thought he was a spy.
What?
Yeah, I'll send you the link to the news article, because it went kind of like in the UK, it went up on the news that they thought he was a spy, because protests started around December, which I'm going to have our friend talk about. And he just so happened to be in Georgia. And so he started documenting these protests. And then a lot of people, you've seen the video that I sent you with the girl with the firework gun.
Yeah.
So that's how bad it was around December time.
It's crazy for me because I never knew these other countries got down like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the first time Georgia has protested Like, and the protests are still going on now, and they started in December. So we're talking like almost a whole year that the Georgian people have been protesting against their government. And that's actually one of the reasons that I left early, because I was going to extend my stay until April. But then in December, when all this was started, I was like, you know, because a lot of places in the city were closing, bars were closing, restaurants were closing. Like the places I would usually hang out were now for protests. So that's one of the reasons I decided to leave early. Our friend Lika can tell us more about that. Because I think more people need to know about what's happening in Georgia. I mean, people don't even know this country exists, let alone what's going down. So
I didn't know. I kind of still don't know anything about it. So speaking of her will definitely give me a better perspective on it.
Yeah. Is she here?
No, she's not here just yet. But since she's not here, I forgot we got to get into some travel hacks real quick. I want to talk about layovers versus stopovers. You know, because when it comes to a layover, you know, like when it comes to booking a flight, like let's say I wanted to go to the Philippines. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get a flight from here to Seoul, Korea, or it's going to take me to Tokyo, Japan, and I'll end up staying there for 12 to 8 hours. You know, people got to learn to take advantage of that. But at the same time, trying to take advantage of it, you got to make sure you get a visa for it as well. You can't just get a stopover and say, hey, look, I'm about to go explore the city. So I'm losing my train of thought. I'm so sleepy.
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry. You're right. Like, if you're gonna get a layover, like if you're buying a flight and, you know, it's usually cheaper to get a flight with one stop or two stops. So if you are going to get those stops and then that stops, like, I don't know, 8 to 12 hours or more. I don't know. Say you're flying to the UK and you have a stop in India. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, with these 8 to 12 hours, you can go and explore the place. But do you need a visa? Because otherwise you can't leave. You can only be there as a transit.
That's why knowing about different countries' visas are important. Because you go to Colombia, you can get that on arrival. You go to the Philippines, you somebody like me, you get there and you forgot to do it, you know. You know, you could get that on arrival, but, you know, same thing, Thailand, on arrival. Let me let this girl explain it a little bit better.
I'm going to tell you guys how you can explore two countries for the price of one. The next time you're booking an international flight, you're going to look for a flight with a long layover. I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. There's two benefits. Number one, the prices are typically less expensive because people want to get to their destinations as quickly as possible. Number two, you're going to use that long layover, typically needing one at least 9 hours long, so that you can exit the airport, explore a country free of charge, return to the airport, and then make it to your final destination, having not paid to actually visit that country.
I'm going to stop her right there, but, you know, it's kind of like I said before, she has good advice, but what she didn't mention was the fact that you could go to this other country, but if you don't have a visa, they will put you back on a plane and send you home.
Yeah. And the thing is some countries do have a transit visa, which is separate from an actual visa. So you might go to a country that typically you would need to apply for a visa for beforehand, but you can get a transit visa on arrival. So
what is that?
A transit visa basically means you have a visa for the time of your transit. Yeah.
Okay.
So say a typical visa, you can get 30 days. A transit visa, you would have like a day.
Okay, just for whatever business you had per se.
Yeah, just because you're in transit, you're in a long, because the thing is like countries and airports, they know people do this. They know that people, it's like some airport, bigger airports that have a lot of transits, like Delhi Airport, they have a whole section of the terminal just for transit, you know, because they know that a lot of people come through for transit. It's the same with probably New York as well, with JFK, that's probably the same. London Heathrow, Istanbul. All these airports, Frankfurt, all these airports that have a lot of transits, they have that.
And that's what we is about to get into on this next video, you know, when it comes to talking about stopovers, because you have a lot of people like that say, you know, how do you guys travel so much? Like, are you rich or No, I want to get into that, but I'm going to let this lady explain it a lot better.
10 countries that you can visit for free by utilizing airline stopover programs. Any stopover is basically a long layover that you can opt in for to explore another city or a country at no additional cost to your original flight. And sometimes you can stay in 5-star hotels for free with the stopover program. So let's get into it. Number one is Iceland Air. You can stay here for as little as 1 day or up to 7 days. So you're going to Iceland for free. Number two is Etihad Airways, and I'm about to blow your mind with this one. Where you will get a stopover for up to 2 nights in Abu Dhabi, and you're not paying for a hotel. And the hotels that you'd be staying at are 5-star hotels. Here are two examples. Number three is TAP Air Portugal, and this is an amazing affordable option for Americans. I flew them to London, and I think it was like $350 round trip. And they arguably have one of the best airline stopover programs because you can choose a layover in two different cities, Lisbon or Porto. Number four is Qatar Airways, where you can stay in Doha, Qatar for up to 4 nights with hotels starting at just $14 a night. Number five is Iberia, where you can stay up to 9 nights in Madrid, Spain, where you can get a free public transport card, and you can get 25% off other flights if you're trying to go from Madrid to another Spanish city like Barcelona, which is just crazy.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So this is my friend Lika. She is from Georgia. We've actually not met in person, but we got connected through a mutual American.
And she's so, a very special guest.
Yes.
And we're happy to have her. So welcome to the Bad Take Podcast.
Hi. Hi, guys. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, same. So how do you say your name again? I don't want to butcher it.
It's Lika. So in Georgian, like the letters, the way that you see them and the way that you write them is literally how you pronounce them, and that's it. So it's just Lika.
It's literally how it's written.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you know what it is? I had a student called Lika.
Wait, is that like different from...
But I think it's spelled with an A at the end. So I was explaining to Naz, like, what Georgia is, where Georgia is, because most people don't know even that Georgia is a country. People just think, oh yeah, Georgia the state. And I too was guilty of that. But
oh really?
Yeah. And I showed him one of the videos from the protests. I mean, you probably seen the video of the girl with the huge firework gun.
Oh, the firework one. Yes. That's been all over the internet. So funny. It's so funny because first, like, we didn't even know it was a girl at first. For like a couple of months, this was like the symbol of resistance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so funny.
But even still now, the protests are happening, right?
Yes, they are.
How many days?
I think yesterday was 300 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's what I wanted to ask about, because Georgia seems like such a beautiful country architecturally and like just the people. How does it get to this point to where like you get to that?
Oh, it's been, listen, this has been happening for centuries. Georgia is a very old country. I mean, we're like back from like BC, like we've been existing, and like we have huge history, huge roots, huge culture. But the thing is, with the creation of one of our dear neighbors in the north, you know, it's just been a downward spiral. And the way that history goes around our country, it's been quite tricky to, you know, pick sides, because we're in such a difficult geolocation. Like, we're geopolitically, we're in a very like crammed up, crowded, like, I don't know, like a highway of all of these political, like, you know, movements and stuff. It's been very hard for us to pick sides. So back in the 17th century, we had to pick a side. And the people at the time, they decided that it was a good idea to stick with Christians, you know, because obviously, like back in the days, you mostly were kind of like influenced by religion mainly. It wasn't like business and whatever like it is today. So we created, I mean, the king at the time, like, I think he was the previous to last king of Georgia that created this tractate with the Russian Empire. It wasn't really an empire then. They were just like starting out.
So let me ask you this, because it's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the primary religion, you know, within Georgia? Is it Christianity? Within, you said?
Yes. Yes, it's Orthodox Christian, though. It's not Catholic. It's Orthodox Christian. It actually does influence the majority of Georgians to this day. We do have, like, some religious minorities, but, like, most, like, I would say, like, 98% of Georgians are, like, Orthodox Christian. You know, they follow all these rules, baptism, you know, creating families, I don't know, like, everything.
Yeah, but even with the kids in Georgia, like, there's obviously a couple who are kind of, like, not so much with the religion, but majority of them are, even from like 8-9 years old.
Yep. I feel like the kids, especially like around that age that you just said, like 8-9, they're still very much very influenced by their own families. And the families, like the way the parents raise them, a lot of them recently, like in the recent years, I would say like the last decade, it hasn't been that strictly like serious. But again, that has something to do with like the tiny groups that are created, like, you know, in the society, because there are certain groups that are still completely following the same like old rules and stuff. There are some that are more like liberal with it, and they don't really like care that much, but they still like, even if the family itself isn't religious, they still try to like put their kid through like the classic way of, you know, getting involved with religion and stuff. But when it comes to like later teens and stuff like that, recently especially, they don't really care anymore as much, like the Gen Z, you know.
Yes. So. I love Gen Z.
Yeah,
we're all around the world.
Listen, I love Gen Z. I love Gen Z. I don't even know if I'm like Gen Z. I don't think I am. I'm 98. I'm on the verge.
No, you're Gen Z.
I'm Gen Z?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Really? But do you know what? We are on that, like, we're on that middle bit between millennial and Gen Z, because I'm 97, but I'm like 4th of January. So if I was born 4 days earlier, I would be millennial.
Yeah, you would be like officially. You know? Yeah.
But sometimes I identify with a millennial. A lot of the time I associate with a Gen Z. I think because we kind of grew up without the technology, and we were like first introduced to it. So we have the millennial from the younger, but then as we got to like teens, we were a bit more Gen Z, I think.
Yeah. I feel like, we kind of have like that, like sort of a dissociation with identifying ourselves, like both of the worlds. And I'm stuck in first, like I'm all over the place in every single way. I'm like, am I a millennial? Am I a Gen Z? Am I this? Am I that? Who knows? Who cares?
I know I'm not Gen Z. They laugh at me all the time. Like,
really?
There's this app called Connections, right? Like, where you could talk to people from all around Asia. And like, I had told somebody, I was like, yeah, I found out about this app through Facebook. They said, Facebook?
Another thing about Georgia, though, Facebook is really popular here.
Yes.
Really popular. Rachel, you know that, right? Mm-hmm. Really popular. It's like the main app for connecting with other people. Like, we're going to have, like, Instagram, again, with, like, the younger generation and stuff. And they're mainly going to use Instagram. But, like, when it comes to, like, political stances, when it comes to, like, news sources, whatever, like, you know, looking at the current events in the country, like whatever, is Facebook. So yeah. So,
I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Real quick, Rachel. So when it comes to the whole political thing and everything that's going on, how has that affected you and like family and friends? Because, you know, kind of like you said, some people had to pick a side, and like, have you lost friends, family over opinions, ideals, this whole political extremism landscape?
So that's been a tough ride. That's been a wild one, because oh my god, where should I even start? I don't even, oh my god, it's like there's like two really like defined stances, and then there's a third one, and more recently there's been a fourth one. So basically there's people who support this government, usually consisting of like drug addicts and people that been stealing all the way since the 90s. They had their little businesses, ties with Russia, blah, 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 whatever. Those are the ones that are supporting this government, right? Because, like, the government, they usually, like, the way any government works, they usually, like, weaponize the mistakes of the previous one, right? So, yeah, that is that side. Usually it's the side that has, like, the sentiments to Russia. And they demonize the West because the West, you know, using all of the stupid propaganda is like, oh, my God, there's, like, you know, like, they have, like, LGBTQ cells in the water. Like, stuff like that, you know, just dumb stuff, right? And then there's the pro-European side, which obviously is against Russia because we're literally occupied, which makes a lot more sense, in my opinion, because, like, we've been through two wars with Russia. One it was 91 and now the other one was 2008. I lost two villages, by the way, in the 2008 war, and I barely escaped the bombing. So obviously it makes sense that, you know, like, why are you supporting them? We're literally occupied. It's 20%, and the occupation is also, like, spreading. They're constantly moving the borders. They're constantly kidnapping people from the border as well, like, you know, all the bordering villages and stuff, always. Mm-hmm. And the occupation line actually is, like, 35 or 40 kilometers away from the main highway of the country.
So what do you think the outcome of this is going to be? Are people just going to stop protesting and give in, or?
No, I don't think they're going to stop protesting and give in, thankfully. But I do think that with the current circumstances, it's going to be extremely hard to find, like, an actual practical way out. Because, again, the thing that's happening, yes, we do have support from the international community. Yes, you know, a lot of the Western countries, they support us and the people, and they don't really recognize our government as legitimate, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of different issues. There's a lot of deaths. There's been a rise in, like, criminal activities, a lot of criminal activities, which are actually,
like, what type?
Like gang stuff, like, you know, like, sort of kind of like mafia things, like drug connected, even though the government really, like, has this whole, like, theatrical front up that, oh, they're fighting with, like, the drug stuff. They're fighting with the, you know, addiction and whatever. Like, it just doesn't make sense because there's a rise of these shady business people who have a ton of money that I guess, and it's pretty logical, that comes from, like, the ties with Russia and the main oligarch that's in charge of the entire party, the Georgian Dream. They're doing some weird stuff. They are getting richer. That's the thing. They're getting richer. They have a ton of investments in private properties. They own maybe half or more of Tbilisi, like the new buildings that are getting built. Architecture-wise, infrastructure-wise, just insanely bad. There's been landslides. Yeah, I mean, there's been God knows what. There's been buildings that were, like, falling apart. There's been deaths because of the mayor's office not paying any attention to what's going on inside of the city. Because, like, the city is actually, like, almost at its full capacity, if not overloaded, right? And there's been deaths. There's been children dying because of, like, some incorrect wiring in some fountains. A building came apart, like, 2 months ago or something. There was deaths as well. And like, there's a lot of, like, these things that are not really, like, politics-related. But at the same time, they do kind of, like, create this overall frustration with the party. Because even mm-hmm. though the people who might have supported them in the past, they're like, what are you guys doing? Right? So it's still good that the frustration is, like, growing, but it's not enough. It's not enough. So I feel like this is a way to go.
It's going to be a hard fight because exactly what you're saying right now kind of reminds me of what's going on in the U.S. It seems like there's a split line directly in the middle. And it's to a point to where it's like family, friends, people you've known a long time.
Yes.
It's just
same
crazy.
In the UK. Same in the UK.
it's just getting to a point to where it's going to turn into a civil war. And I think that the government is just going to get involved and it's just going to be hell broke loose.
Isn't that what they want, though? Don't they want a civil war? Because then Trump can work his way to stay in office longer.
The people don't want it. It's just the fact that people are programmed. The biggest enemy is the internet. It's the internet, because you have other countries that put money into ads, comments, and it infuriates people. You know, I find myself sometimes getting on my phone, I see something, and I'm like, that's a dumbass comment, you know, and I'm getting pissed off. Then I'm seeing something I'm laughing at. Then the next minute, I'm pissed off again, and it's like...
Exactly.
1 minute I'm laughing at a meme, and the next minute I'm seeing a little girl with her guts hanging out and taking her last breaths, and I'm like, whoa. And then I'm back to a meme again. I'm like, the fuck? This is not normal.
It's the internet.
And the worst part is that some of the memes are actually mocking the horrible stuff that's happening in the world. That's the worst part. Like, I'm gonna see a meme that's like, what the what are you guys even up to? Like, what's going on? And there's a remember I mentioned like the fourth kind of stance that's been created recently. It has to do with a lot to do with the current situation in the US and in one or two specific countries in the Middle East. So,
I mean, everywhere I go in the world and I speak with the people, I speak with the local people, and no one's happy with their governments. Not a single country in the world is happy with their government. But I don't want people to just look at Georgia as this, because Georgia is one of my favorite countries. It's in my top three. For so many reasons. I mean, first of all, the people were just so hospitable and welcoming to me when I went there. A lot of people thought I was Georgian. Like, you people actually would see, I got told I looked Georgian a lot, and then when I got my Georgian tattoo, then like even more, they were convinced that I was Georgian. And I remember sometimes, like, I'd go to the casino and I'd be speaking in English, and then she'd speak to me in Georgian, and I'm like, no English, please.
Wait, so can I hear what the Georgian language sound like?
Okay, shagizli, I
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It sounds
like, you know, like, what, as well, it's even like the way
a little bit, it has like
French.
Has that smoothness of French.
I would say it definitely sounds like a Slavic language.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would say so. From hearing it, I would say it sounds more Slavic, But what I love about it the most is, like, the way it's written. It looks so beautiful. I mean, that's why I got the tattoo. I don't even know if you can see this. Yeah.
Wait,
can you read it?
Oh, it says, Gambedao, but it says, like, courage, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of something. What? He's cracking up. Is that your first time seeing the Georgian language? Because we have...
Yeah, but I...
I
love it. It's so beautiful. And also, I mentioned to Naz, get yourself together. I mentioned to him earlier that, like, you guys have, like, your own, like, unique culture and, like, traditions and stuff. One of the things that you probably seen on my culture shock list was that you have Christmas in January, right? Because you're on the Orthodox calendar still. Yeah. And this is so funny, because some of my younger students, I was teaching them the months of the year, and I was like, right, which month is Christmas? And they kept telling me January. And I'm like, it's not January. And I was getting like, I was like, why do they keep saying January? And then maybe like weeks later, I learned that your Christmas is in January. And I was like, oh, those poor kids.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, because it's the Orthodox calendar, but it also is, again, it's a little messed up, because it's not really supposed to be. Even in the Orthodox like teachings, like with the Bible and stuff and all of the songs and the gospels and so on, it says 25th of December. And this, I'm not sure why exactly, but I think it also, again, has to do something with the Russian church. I swear. Yeah, it has something to do with the Russian church. I'm not really fully educated on that subject, but I'm pretty sure that the Russian church kind of like decided that it was going to be the old way of calculating the whole event of Christmas. But most people, again, recently they started like kind of like going away from that. Like we still obviously hugely celebrate it on the 7th of January, but a lot of people started celebrating it on the 25th as well.
Mm. Yeah. One of the other things, it was one of my first culture shocks, actually, because my apartment was on the 7th floor of like an apartment building, paying to use an elevator. What the hell? Right. When I first moved in. So when I first moved in, like we didn't have to pay for the elevator. Right. You just go in the building, press the button, you go up to your floor. And then after being there for maybe like a month, the elevator kept breaking. Right. And then one day the elevator broke and it couldn't be fixed. Right. So now we couldn't use the elevator for 2 weeks. We didn't have an elevator. I had to climb 7 flights of stairs every time I left my house. And I'm not going to lie, it really put me off wanting to leave my house because I'm like, I have to climb 7 floors when I get back. But what had happened was like, no one was taking responsibility for fixing the elevator. They were like, whoa, I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for it. No one wanted to pay for it.
That is so just so Georgia coded, I swear to God.
Like, just imagine going out getting fucked up and having to go to the bathroom real bad. Like,
bro, you have no idea. And it was like for two weeks. And you know, there was a guy on the 10th floor who was disabled. Right. So he couldn't even leave his apartment for 2 weeks.
And then
eventually the people in the building all got the money together to fix the elevator. So now the elevator is fixed and now you have to pay for it. So every time you get in the elevator, you have to like top up your card and you have to tap or the elevator won't move.
Yeah.
But I realized that we were just late jumping on that bandwagon because all the other apartment buildings I went to already, you had to pay for it.
Yep. Yep. It's a normal thing. Like you get this card. Those are like with newer buildings though. Those are with newer buildings. You get a card. I also have that one. Like you just press it and there's like a balance of it, whatever. But then there's older buildings who don't have those cards. They have those old elevators. I'm not sure if you've ever been in one, Rachel, because that is literally like, that is an extreme sport. The way those things are shaking, the way those things are old as hell, some of them don't even have the tops in them. There's actually been a couple of disastrous things happen because I think like 2 or 3 of them actually like dropped and there's deaths. But like those in those little like tiny old ones in the Soviet building ones, you throw like pennies in there, right? You throw like 10 tetri, 5 tetri is actually like kind of like an equivalent to a cent. And then the Georgians, obviously being Georgians, we've discovered that, you know what we could do? We could put a hole in the coin. That is, we could put a hole in the coin and we could tie it up to a string. And then you just like put it in there. The elevator registers the money.
And then pull it back out.
Then you pull it out.
Oh my God.
Love it.
So yeah, that's one of the, that is so funny. But yeah, nobody actually thinks about this. Like this is just our reality, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the things that you don't really think about. Like the other one that like just caught me off guard was like, you know, you're ordering food on an app. I think, is it Grab we use in Georgia?
No, it's Wolt.
Well, right, yeah. There's been so many I've used now traveling. I forget which one's which. But if Naz, right, say you're ordering food to your house like you normally would, okay?
Yeah.
But it's pouring down with rain outside. Yeah, it's raining. You now have to pay a bad weather fee. You have to pay a fee because the weather's bad.
Yeah.
Like, what? And it's like 2, 3, 4 lari. Like, it's not like, I mean, I know 4 lari is only like a pound, but it's not the point. It's not the point. I can't control the weather.
But it's 4 lari for us, you know, and a lot of people, yeah, people are like, you know, but at the same time, we also have a general bad weather fee. And we also have the we have the emergency services fee as well. I'm pretty sure that's the thing with a lot of countries. But like, we get these like payments monthly that just gets subtracted, because like sometimes the government has to like warn us that, oh, today is going to be windy, or it's going to be raining today, or there's going to be like, I don't know. Whatever.
You have to pay for them to give you a warning about the weather?
Yep.
What?
Imagine like you have to pay 911 to warn you of shit. Like, say you have like a tornado warning, right? Oh, you're 50 cents. You got to give us 50 cents.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
But what if you didn't ask for that information? Do they just...
You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Nope.
So let's say this 50 cent, I don't pay it. I say, I don't got it. I'm not going to pay it. What happens to me?
I mean, I don't really know if it's possible unless you don't have a phone, unless you don't have a bank card, unless like you literally have absolutely nothing registered to your name, then maybe you're just not going to pay anything and they're just going to be like, all right, whatever. But like... if you have a bank account, if you have a phone with an active balance, like, it's just going to get subtracted to it from it. And you can't really do anything.
I feel like maybe all countries have like some bullshit.
I think some bullshit thing
that you have to pay for. Like in the UK, you have to pay for a TV license if you have a TV in your house.
Oh, that's weird. That's
yeah, you have to pay to have a license. You have to pay to have a TV in your house.
That is so funny. Oh my God. Can I please be brainwashed? I'm going to pay you money. That is so funny.
The thing is, it doesn't even matter if you have a TV anymore, because now they've got to a point where they're saying, like, if you can access like the BBC on your phone or your laptop, then you have to pay a TV license.
That is
even so, if you don't have a TV, but you can access it on your laptop. Yeah, it's crazy.
That is
so insane. I think all countries have some like crazy shit. Yeah. But
another thing that I remembered is we have a pension fee. So when you get retired, right, you're gonna get like this monthly payment of like a miserable amount of money. That's going to be like maybe like 80, 90 pounds if you like convert it or something like that. Maybe like something like that monthly for retired people, right? And they recently came up with this genius plan of saving up for your retirement. And you know what they do? They take money away from you and they're like, yeah, we're putting this for your retirement plan. And you know what happened? They created this like structure for it, right? They created like an independent kind of, or not an organization, but whatever, like a fund. They bought some Gucci stocks, and they bought some like Louis V stocks and shit like that. They bought some designer shit, and they're like, oh no, this is investment. We're investing in you. And I have literally like, I don't even know how much gets removed from my account monthly, but like, yeah, if you have a job and if you have like a registered job that pays you money, they add it to the tax. It's a literal
tax. That's what they do in the UK.
What if I'm not even reaching the pension age? What the fuck is gonna happen? Like, what if I'm dying next year, bro? What the fuck are you gonna
They do that in the UK, but then when you get your pension, you get taxed. So you get taxed on the money you earn, and they take the pension. And then when you get your pension, they tax your pension. Like, what? You already taxed me.
That's how the US is. Everything is taxed. Oh. Everything. Like,
honestly, they're robbing us.
And if it's not taxed, if it's not taxed, then they'll raise the price of the items or whatever it is that's going to be taxed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the U.S., honestly, I'm actually working for an American company, right? I work remotely, and I have I have things to do with like the healthcare system.
But moving on,
condolences to that girl. You can't even buy a fucking ibuprofen. Like, what the hell? What?
It's expensive.
It's very expensive. It's very expensive. Speaking of Tylenol, what the hell? But like, my God.
Don't. Wait, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
So Lika, I get to Georgia and I land. What am I using to get to my hotel?
A taxi. Center City.
Wait, can I tell you how I got to my hotel? Because I had the girl in Georgia organizing everything for me. Yeah, so I didn't know, right? She told me when I eventually got to Georgia, she sends me a picture of a guy. She's like, this is the guy who's picking you up. So I'm in the arrivals hall. I'm looking for this guy. Yeah, there's so many people. I'm like, I can't find him. She sends me his number. We're texting. He doesn't speak any English. He has a photo of me. And he's like, oh, you? And I'm like, yes. So he puts me in his car. His car was beat up. Like, the windscreen was cracked. The seats inside barely had cushion on them. Like, and then we pull out of the airport. He's got a flat tire. And it's pouring down with rain. So now he's trying to change his tire outside the airport, okay? Getting so he fixes up his tire. I get in the car. We're driving because I think, which airport did I come into? It wasn't Tbilisi. It wasn't Tbilisi. What's the next closest airport?
I think it was Kutaisi.
Yes.
Like in that's the west the one. Part, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long is it driving?
It's like 4 hours away from
Tbilisi. It's a while. It's a while. And the roads are bad. The roads in Georgia are bad. Okay. So I'm in this car, this beat up car. He's smoking cigarette in the car. He's got cigarette in one hand, phone in the other hand. He's not even got his hands on the steering wheel. I'm like scared. There's no seat belts in the car. I'm scared for my life. I don't even know where he's taking me. I don't know. He hasn't spoken any English to me. So I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. He's just driving me. And then he pulls over in the middle of nowhere. He pulls over in the middle of nowhere and he tells me to get out of the car. So I'm like, okay, literally we're just at a little shack at the side of the road. And so I get out of the car and then this minibus pulls up and he signals that, you know, you're getting in the minibus. And I'm like, what the fuck? And this minibus is full of people. So I'm now sat in a middle seat like this with two Georgians either side of me. I still don't know where the fuck I'm going. And then I'm messaging her and I'm like, when am I supposed to get off this bus? And she's like, oh, when you see supermarket, what's that big supermarket called? Goodwill.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's like, when you see the Goodwill, that's when you get off. And I'm like, okay, I'm not seeing no Goodwill. I've been in for like an hour. And then she calls me and asks to put her on speaker so she can speak to the bus. So she's speaking to the bus now and asking them to tell me to tell the driver when to get off. So yeah, it was like 5 hours. So if you're going into that airport, I think that's how you're getting around. You're getting bus.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like the other one, the one that's in the west, then for sure you have to like take a minibus or something or a huge bus. That literally sounds really bad because usually it's not that bad. Like most of the time it's pretty decent. I don't know what happened to you. Again, I've had been picked up in like random spots. Like it was, for example, like, let me just give you an example. Like we were, at the seaside, there was like a festival at the seaside and we were like hitchhiking. We were, you know, waiting for like a car to stop. This police car stops, right? They take us, and this is like 2017 and they take us to, like whatever, route that we're taking. And like 10 minutes in, I noticed that the driver, a police officer, is drinking cognac. And he's like, do you guys want some? And I'm like, no, thank you. Because he's like obviously drunk too.
Mm-hmm. A police officer. Yeah. Yeah.
That was insane.
You know, you just reminded me of a time, like whilst I was in Georgia, there was a period where I briefly went to Vienna for like a week and then I came back. And I was traveling like with a bunch of kids and stuff. So we were on like a big minibus and we'd stopped over at some point during the drive at like a service station, but not like a service station in the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like just a little place where you can get food and rest. And I'm sat there and it's early in the morning. It's probably about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And this huge coach pulls up and all these players are getting off. Looks like they're a football team. Yeah, they're getting off. They're having a rest. And then, like, their coach or their manager or whatever is bringing off, like, bananas and things for them to eat. So one, I'm just sat outside getting fresh air. One of these guys comes up to me and he's like, oh, you want a biscuit? You want a banana? I was like, yeah, sure. I didn't want to be rude, right? So I just accept. People offer me shit when I'm traveling. I just accept it because I don't want to be rude. So I'm just taking it. And then he pulls out some cha-cha.
Okay,
so cha-cha is like their local liquor. It's like their local liquor. I don't know. Is it made from white grapes?
It's vodka on steroids, basically.
Okay. It's strong.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, oh, you want some cha-cha? I was like, again, I didn't want to be rude. So I was like, yeah, I'll have some cha-cha.
Oh, my God. He pours me
a large shot of cha-cha. I'm like, and he's like stood there waiting for me to take it. So I was like,
oh my God.
So I like neck this cha-cha, blows my head off. And I'm like, all right, cool. 5 minutes later, he comes back. You want more cha-cha? I was like, fuck. I was like, yeah, okay. But he brought it. Not like a cha-cha bottle. So he gives me another one. I take that one. I'm like, okay, I'm good now. So maybe 5 minutes later, he comes over with like a bottle of water and he was like, oh, you want some? I was like, oh, yes, please. So he pours it into my cup. I take a sip. It's fucking cha-cha again. I was like, oh my God. So I had to go behind the bus and pour out this cha-cha because I was like, I can't drink it. I'm going to be drunk on the bus.
Yeah. We have pretty tight relations with alcohol here because wine, cha-cha, like all sorts of whatever, because we're also one of the oldest countries, if not the oldest, to ever produce wine too. So like
you are the oldest.
I mean, I think there's been some new discoveries recently and some somewhere else, but I think we're still the oldest.
I mean, currently, it's the purest wine in the world.
Literally, the other thing is that like most of my international friends who come here, they're always amazed by the fact that literal random families, like any random family, we have our own wine. We produce our own wine.
Every time I had wine, like the girl that I was like teaching for, her family was so nice, and they would, every time they went to the village, they'd bring me back wine, they'd bring me back weed, and I'm like, this is great.
That's crazy.
I got fresh wine, I got fresh weed.
So I get to the airport, what am I using?
Okay.
Yeah, you basically, depending on the airport, you either use like a bus that has a service of like bringing you to the capital, or if you landed in the capital, then you use a taxi because the airport is pretty far away from like the central area, and it's pretty convenient. But a lot of the times, the tourists are complaining that some Georgians like tend to rip them off because like they know that like, you know, the currency, like whatever, like, oh, this person is from the UK, for example, you know, the pound is like four times stronger than our currency. So they're like, oh yeah, they're not going to care if I say 60 instead of 30, you know?
Yeah. So like, I would say like, you need to download the Bolt app, just download Bolt, because then it's a fixed price that you're not going to get ripped off for being a tourist. Yeah. So grab, and it's cheap. It's so cheap. Like Georgia's one of the cheapest countries I've been to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people actually say that it's not the cheapest, but like, yeah, there's some that say,
Lida Airport, how much should I pay for a taxi or a bus?
So buses
like just are, around it.
Yeah, buses are usually like around 30 lari, which roughly could be like around like $11, $12, something like that. If you take a taxi in the capital, depending on the hours of the day as well, if you're like, if you landed in Tbilisi, and depending on the area, it could be around like 30 to 40, sometimes even 50, depending on, again, if it's like early in the morning or like late at night. And if it's like down in the center, it could be around like, which is like, again, it's like $20, something like that. But other than that, it's really like convenient, I would say. And we do have quite a lot of apps too, like if you need anything, if you want something, like you could just like, if you don't trust your like understanding skills, because nobody can blame you, Jordan is like, don't even attempt it, I guess, because like a lot of the people are like, oh hell no, I literally have no idea what this language is, or like you can't even read it because it's, you know,
fuck.
A lot of my foreign friends are saying like those are like spaghetti noodle.
Yeah, I started learning the alphabet and I got to like the fifth letter and I was like, fuck that.
Yep. And we have three different types of writings too. We have two ancient ones.
I would say, Naz, like with getting around, like I personally never paid more than £12 for a taxi anywhere. Like it was always very cheap. And also, so, like if you're in the city, getting around is very easy. Like they have a lot of bus services that run like on set times that you can just get on and tap your phone or tap your card and get off. And my cards, my British cards always work there. But there's also another type of bus where it's like a minibus where like it doesn't have set stops. You kind of have to tell them when to stop.
Yeah.
But even that one, you can pay with your card when you get on.
Yeah. So, have you ever been to the subway?
I did. Fuck the subway. That's the noisiest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I thought the London Underground was noisy, but fuck me. It was so loud. Like, they need to do something about that.
They need to. They definitely need to. It's really
old. It sounds like it's falling apart.
Yeah, it's really old. And it's like, I think starting from like Soviet times, we like renovated the whole system, not the whole system, but we renovated the trains back in like 2000. I don't even know what, 10, 8, something like that in the previous government. And then after that, it's just been running like that. They're just like changing the colors to the party, you know, before it was red. Now it's blue. And that's the only difference. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So, you know, I get the taxi or the bus, I get to the Capitol, I get into my place. Now, let's say I'm hungry, I'm in a bed, I'm like, shit, I'm starving, but I don't really know where to go. What apps am I using to get something to eat? You know, get something delivered to me.
Yeah, you can use Glovo, you can use Bolt, you can use Wolt. I think there's also like, kind of something. So Bolt is kind of like Uber Eats. So it's like a taxi delivery service that offers like food deliveries as well. There's Wolt and Glovo, which are like mainly actually like really popular in Europe, at least.
I think Glovo was my favorite.
Yeah, Glovo is like, I think it's like Spanish, right? I think it's like a Spanish
company. I have no idea. I thought it was Georgian.
I prefer Wolt, to be honest with you, because Glovo has been known to like charge incorrectly sometimes and like rip people off like automatically, because I don't know, I guess it's like easy to scam or something. But you just like use Glovo, you use Wolt, and it's pretty fast, it's pretty convenient. Food is, you are not gonna starve in here at all. One thing that Georgia has like plenty to offer. Food and cheese and food and wine, you know, like,
and you know what,
all of these, like,
the food is all right, it's all right, like Kinkali, love it. I'm not usually a fan of dumplings, but Kinkali, amazing. Lobiani, I don't really like beans.
Oh, you're a fan of lobiani. Nice.
Do you know, I don't really like beans, but lobiani was nice. Yeah. Even the khachapuri. And your shawarma.
Oh, really?
Amazing. Like amazing. The only thing I would say about Georgian food is quite bland. It's just salt and pepper. I feel like it's just salt. I don't know. Maybe it's because I like spice. But
Actually, that is very surprising, because like, have you ever eaten at like actual Georgian families?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
All of my meals were cooked by the Georgian family.
Huh, that's really interesting, because like a lot of the times, if you go to like really nice restaurants and stuff. They we have like some very interesting spices, and it's mostly like the popular dishes that don't really have a lot of the stuff. It's like lesser known ones. For example, like again, khinkali is like a dumpling, and you know the meat has like some spices and whatever. Again, there's a variety of those. So if you want to have like really good khinkali, which is one of the most popular foods in Georgia, you need to go to the mountains. Oh, you need to go to the mountains and you need to get like actual mountain khinkali. Oh my God. That's insane. It's so good. Oh my God. then if you want to have like some really, really nice, like, I don't even know how to like explain what it is. It's like, it's kind of like barbecue, but not fully. It's like the meat that you put on skewers. And that is just like southeast of Georgia. Those guys are amazing with that kind of meat. Like you fry it, like you cook it on like open fire, right? You like marinate it with stuff. And then it's also really good. Then one of the most popular dishes, apart from those, are cheese boats, which is a variety of khachapuri. And actually, Naz, in the States, you also have Georgian restaurants that offer the cheese boats. And I think there's like a couple in New York. And I heard somewhere on the news that the cheese boat actually was like the food of the year somewhere in whatever country. I think it was the States or something. Like a lot of people just love it. They love it. And it's like really popular for a reason. It's really good. But then... the western side of Georgia is the one that's like known to have more spices than the rest of the area, because they have like these sauces, which if you could compare it to something, I would probably compare it to like those Korean pastes, like pepper pastes. Those like really spicy ones. They have like their own twists and whatever. And then we have like I don't know, like chicken with gravy, but like the gravy is like the Georgian gravy that has a lot of spices, and it's really good. It's really good. And also we have a thing with cheese, we have a thing with walnuts, a lot of walnuts
and beans.
Yeah, not as much as like Korea and Japan, like those red beans everywhere, but like we have this like variety of beans as well.
Lika, I have a question.
Wait, can I get this last one out, Rachel? Last one. I gotta pull this last one out of Lika. I'm a tourist. The next thing, next morning after I get my food and everything, now I need to get my cell phone service on. Where do I go? How much am I paying?
You can actually take care of that in the airport, because we have a lot of different kiosks there. You could go and pick any service. They have pretty decent coverages unless you're doing some extreme sports or like mountain climbing or like whatever, cave diving and stuff like that. Pretty good coverage almost everywhere. You can buy those and like get it installed in your phone, no matter if you have a SIM or if you're like a SIM free, like you could use both. You could get those. I guess it's gonna be around like 30 lari. Again, like 30,
it's
40.
Pretty cheap. Really sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. It's
like, yeah.
Yeah, most of those things are like around like $10-$15 or like 10-12 pounds, something like that. I don't think that would be like more than that. But then the top up thingy is kind of confusing, I guess, because we have those like codes that you have to dial. And that's how you can like buy a service. Or you, another very convenient thing is that you have, if you, for example, have a bank account right here, if you came and whatever, you're planning to live here for like a couple of months, whatever, you open up a bank account and you could like pay all of the things that you want to pay from the bank account. You have a mobile app, you can top up your phone, you can pay your utilities, you can pay your loans, you can whatever, literally whatever.
I actually ended up opening a bank account when I was there, by force. What? I didn't want to, but because basically ordered when I got to Georgia, it was hot, right? It was September, it was still nice and hot outside, and then it got cold very quickly, and I needed clothes. So I placed an order on Shein, to get delivered. Like, it was a huge order. I spent hundreds of pounds on it. 3 months. 3 months I waited for my clothes. Like, I ended up having to just go to the mall and buy shit because it was taking so long. Yeah, and it's because I had to first of all go to some office and get like some tax number. Then I had to go to the bank, open up a bank account so I could pay the fees
of the delivery coming in,
the taxes and the fees. So I had to go and open a bank account for that. And then that's when I discovered that you have to pay to have a bank card, a physical bank card.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why do I have to pay to be able to access my own money?
You literally have to pay for literally everything. Literally everything. You know, there's actually... this is going to sound really dark and weird, but I heard, I'm not sure if that's still the case, but I heard that if you unsuccessfully attempt, you know, suicide, you're going to get charged.
Charged by who?
You, by the police. You're going to get fined. You're getting a fine of like 500 lari, which is around like $200 or something. You're getting fined because like,
why, I know you want to die, but you have to pay this fine.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, a lot of people, unfortunately, who have attempted that, a lot of them attempted because of finances. Yeah, and then you know what? Now, yeah, you're getting fined. Don't do that again. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. A lot of people here die like that. They go jump in front of the trains, make everybody late for work, and it's like, I don't understand. Like, how do you charge somebody that's dead? Or is it the attempt?
It's the attempt. So if you unsuccessfully attempt to kill yourself, you're gonna get fined. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because, like, do you want me to die or do you want me to live? Which one? Which one is it? Like, what the fuck are you fining me for?
I mean, you don't really want to die after you see the fines.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck? What are you, like, what are you charging me for? That I couldn't kill myself or that I wanted to? Like, it doesn't, it could go both ways, right? And it's weird.
just speaking on that, when I was saying about like my Shein delivery and that I waited so long, it brings me to like probably my biggest culture shock. And that was that when I went to Vienna, I was with a girl from Georgia, right? It was her first time ever leaving Georgia. And she was just so fascinated by the post boxes. I was like, hold on, you don't have post boxes? And she said no. And then when I went back to Georgia, I think maybe because I didn't realize for so long, it's what blew my mind, but there's no mailboxes, there's no letterboxes, there's no mailmen, there's no post offices. So then I was like, wait, how do you get your mail? And then obviously that's when I learned that you have like something like a UPS, like a third party. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, but what if like you have really important documents? Like what if your bank needs to send you a letter or something? And then my Georgian friend, she was like, well, then the bank will text you to go and pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's digitalized. It's all digitalized. Before the previous government, I don't even know how they were doing all that, but the previous government actually digitalized a lot of stuff. They created the House of Justice, which is basically like... it's basically like a constitutional organ, like a government figure, something that takes care of all of these like things, whether it's documentation, whether it's something to have with, I don't know, like ownership, having to do with like citizenship, having to do with all of those like logistical things, whatever, IDs, passports, whatever, all of that is taken care of there. And they have like different departments, and we have, I think we have like two or three different like facilities for that. And the main one, I don't know if you remember, Rachel, it's like the one that has like this really interesting form. It's on the riverbank. That's like white. Yes. Yeah, that's the one. That's the House of Justice. And you go there and you basically take care of all the services. And the thing that actually like shocked a lot of my foreign friends is that you do not get any physical documents delivered ever. All of it is digitalized. We do not have those types of things. Like, we're just going to receive a mail, like Gmail. You know, you're going to receive it on your like email. You're going to, I don't know, have it sent to you as a PDF, or you're going to receive a text message or something like that.
Yeah. Or you so have you, to go. So George has never had a mail service.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't really seen it being, you know, ever used. I don't think we've ever had it. Yeah. It's like so, those like third party ones, and that's it.
So I have a question. What is it like dating Georgie men?
Oh, she smiled for that one.
Oh my God. You know, they're nice. They're nice. No, I'm joking. I mean, they're nice. But they're like a niche type of man. They're like, you know, a lot of like different nationalities are gonna love them. They're gonna be like, you know, saying that, oh my God, like they're so beautiful, like they're so manly, masculine, whatever, blah blah blah. But I think that's the case with like most nations. It's like the sexes between inside of the nation, they rarely have this like complete admiration towards each other, because I feel like it stems from the fact that like you know the opposite sex of your own country way better than the best. So
do you date Georgian men? Because I don't date English men.
I've tried before. It wasn't successful because I couldn't actually speak for a lot of Georgian women, because I'm not really like the traditional type of Georgian women. No shade to anybody. I'm just like not really raised in like a traditional family, a traditional Georgian family. Like we're not super religious. Like we're not whatever. Like I've been speaking English since I was like 3 years old. Like I have mostly international friends actually. So like I'm not really like fully a good example of a Georgian woman, but Georgian women, a lot of them, they're incredible. I don't really have anything bad to say about them. The only thing is that they're really reserved, and that is because of our culture. We're pretty conservative as a country, stemming from religious beliefs, whatever. There's a lot of misogyny happening, unfortunately. There's femicide here pretty often, which is something that, again, it stems from, again, conservative religious beliefs, whatever, mentality. But a lot of them are actually evolving, I would say. They're not as close-minded anymore. Yeah,
they're not. I'm laughing because it's just crazy how it's like, you know, like Rachel said, the U.S. is pretty much closed off from the rest of the world. And just speaking to everybody ever since she told me that, nobody here knows anything about what's going on in the rest of the world. So it's like you telling me this, it's like I always thought that about the U.S., but I never thought that about, you know, like certain other places. Countries.
Yeah, I feel like, if you could compare the levels, also keeping in mind that the U.S. is like, I don't even know, like what, 20 times bigger when it comes to the population. I don't know. There's like 3.6 million of us, 3.6 or 7 or something. That's literally not even like 10% of New York. Like, come on, bro. What the hell? Yeah. Like, this is a tiny, tiny population. And the thing is that, like, if you look at like the statistics, then the statistics are way more obvious here, and they're way more like, you know, it's just like right in your face, because it's such a scale that you cannot just escape knowing certain stuff. You cannot escape knowing certain events that have happened or like something, because also it's a small country. No matter, it's very beautiful and it's very like scenic, and there's a ton of different places you could go, and you could literally just lose your mind over how beautiful it is and how versatile it is. But when it comes to like actual like how do I say it, like social life here, especially if it's like a tightly populated area like Tbilisi, the capital, which actually consists, like, I think more than half, but at least half of the population is in Tbilisi. Can you imagine how, like, I don't know, it's not evenly populated at all. And in Tbilisi, you just cannot escape certain stuff. It depends. So basically it depends. If you're more of like the conservative type of woman, if you don't really have a lot of like liberal ideas, and if you're not totally like, you know, independent, if you don't want to be independent, if you're like on the, you know, more of like submissive side, then I guess you're gonna be okay with Georgian men.
It sounds like you don't typically date Georgian men. So what type of men are you dating?
Honestly, I don't really have like a specific type. I've dated a lot of different cultural backgrounds. I've dated a lot of different nationalities. It all goes down to intelligence at the end of the day. It all goes down to integrity. It goes down to sense of humor. It goes down to how accomplished of a man is, you know, and it has its own. I don't feel like it's the same as being accomplished as a woman. There's completely different aspects to being an accomplished man, you know. And I just like people who are just self-aware and stuff. Well, not to mention I like, you know, fit guys, for example, like strong ones, big strong ones. But apart from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have your shit together, basically, and you have to be really intelligent. And by intelligent, I don't mean just like book smart. I mean like smart as in you could emotional intelligent, pattern recognition skills, your own independence of thinking.
I feel like you're asking for a bit too much, Nika.
I know, right? But
no, yeah. It's not a lot. I think. I mean, the only thing I could ask.
Yeah, do you?
Listen,
he's like, me.
I'm working on my weight, but everything else, yes.
Yeah, but,
Nika, do you still speak to our mutual friend?
No, actually.
No, I haven't. I haven't for a while as well.
Really? No, I haven't. No, I haven't for, actually, I don't even know. When was that? That was last year? Was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was last year. No, I haven't spoken to him. At all.
So this is how me and Lika got acquainted. So
my God.
I went on a date with this guy, this American. He's playing basketball out there, right? So I went on a date with this guy and like we're chatting, you know, it's all cool. And then I've probably known him for like best part of a week. Maybe not even a week. Yeah. And obviously in my Instagram bio, I've got the rainbow flag, right? Because I'm bisexual. Uh-oh. So obviously he was like, oh, she's bisexual. So he's asking me and I was like, yeah, I'm bisexual. Da, da, da. He's like, oh, have you ever had a threesome? I was like, no, actually, but it is something I'd be open to. So he's like, oh, there's this girl. There's this Georgian girl. She's bisexual too. We should have a threesome. So he's like going on and on and on, and I'm like bear in mind, I don't even know this girl yet. This is just what he's telling me. So I'm like, okay, but like, you know, I'd need to speak to her, like see if like we vibe, see if there's attraction there. Like just because we're both bisexual doesn't mean we're both gonna fancy each other.
Exactly. Right? That's such a misconception about bisexual.
This is like, something that really pisses me off.
You're literally gonna tap anything. No.
Right? No. It's like just because I like women doesn't mean I like all women.
Exactly. It's literally the same as being attracted to the opposite sex only.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, well, why don't you come around tonight? And like, she'll come around, like you guys can meet. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm not just rocking up at your house ready for a threesome when I don't even know the girl. Like,
that is so funny.
But like, he was so, and then he created a group chat with like the three of us. And then we just like, left and made our own group chat.
Yeah, we just added each other on Instagram, and then we had plans like, you know, we should hang out, we should actually like, get to know each other, because like, yeah, it's not just like, yeah, whatever. like, come up. It's not a fucking delivery, bro. And then, like, you know, we had plans, but, like, we never really, like, actually met up. I don't know what was happening back then. I think I was working.
Yeah, and also, I was only there for a couple more weeks. So, like, my schedule was so busy. But he was
Can I stop you for a second? That is ghetto.
It was putting me off because I'm like, you're acting so desperate for a threesome right now.
It was weird. It was the sense of urgency. Like, bro, this just doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. Like, why are you being so?
This isn't a porno. This isn't a porno.
It was like really off putting because I also have like this thing. Like, I'm very like picky. I really do have to like see the person in real life to feel if like I'm attracted or not, because a lot of the times the person is going to be completely fine. Like, they're going to be pretty, they're going to be intelligent, they're going to be funny, but it's not a reason for you to be attracted, right? That's a different thing. That's a different thing. So you have to like meet the person in real life. It's not like you're playing matchy-matchy on some fucking WhatsApp
group,
bro. Come on.
I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking.
He was thinking maybe if I get them to talk a little bit, I could probably mix in some freak stuff, probably get them in the same room, some drinks, some weed.
And
let's be honest, could he really handle the both of us?
My God, nah.
I mean, a basketball player probably.
I don't know. Run
up and down.
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, like, it's you know, we, I guess, oh, another thing with the whole thing here in Georgia is like, it's very conservative out here, right? A lot of people are, it's very frowned upon to like be sexually active. It's very frowned upon to be like sexually liberated, especially if it comes to like other people, other nationalities, especially, not to be racist, but it is what it is. Like, there's quite a lot of racism here still, and it's like really weird that, you know, like a Georgian girl, oh, she's a disgrace if she's like messing with other races and other people and whatever. But again, I'm not really like the best example when it comes to this, because like I was dating a black guy for 6 months or 7 months, and he actually met my family, and like it was all chill, it was all good. But for a lot of people here, it's very weird, you know. They try to like stick to either Georgians or like, I hate to say it, but like white people, and it's like.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, I don't want our listeners to think that, like, if they're a person of color, like, they're going to come to Georgia and experience racism. Because there is racism everywhere you go, right? Every country you go to has some kind of racism.
Sorry?
Are you in the UK right now?
Unfortunately.
Oh, what?
I'm going to close this out. I appreciate you, Lika, for the interview. You're a very smart individual. Like, all the information you gave us, I don't think anybody could have explained it any much better. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was extremely interesting talking to you guys. It was something that I've actually really wanted to speak about, especially with representatives from the United States and from the United Kingdom, because those two are very like popular in my country, and just to like set the record straight about some stuff that's huge misconceptions here in my country. I think it's very like practical to have these discussions within like different communities and different people.
Yeah, I agree. Because here, I wouldn't really say I'm Democrat or Republican at all. I'd say I'm in the middle, kind of. Mm-hmm. I feel like the internet is the biggest gangster, you know, above all right now. Yep. So I don't know.
Yep.
But
You know, I actually read somewhere, or I saw this like picture somewhere. I think it was over the health United Healthcare CEO murder type thing. I saw like a banner outside somewhere. I think it was in New York or somewhere, and it said, "It's don't look left or right, look up." And I think that says enough. I think that is the most truthful explanation of what's happening in the world right now. There is no other, like, if you actually think about it, there is no left or right. There is up and there is down. This is the bad take. This is the bad take podcast.